Morning, everybody.
Morning.
You know, it's been a lot of years since I've been the mom of a little one. So my son is 42 years old. So today we're going to talk about adult children. And I know that a lot of you have little ones, but there's a lot of us in here that have adult children that we have no control over what they do anymore. So there's very little that we can do for them except pray for them. I was taught a long time ago that if you want to get somebody's attention when you're going to speak, either tell them a joke or give them money. I'm not giving you money. So here's my joke. This mother was trying to teach her daughter how to care about other people, and her grandpa was in the hospital, and she says, "Sweetie, we're going to go see grandpa in the hospital today." And the little girl was all excited because she wanted to go see her grandpa. So she goes running into the hospital, and she gets into the room before her mom gets in there, and she says, "Grandpa, grandpa, when mom comes in, talk like a frog." And he said, "Okay." He says, "Why am I going to talk like a frog?" And she says, "Because mom says when you croak, we're all going to Disney World." So I want to know, who here is a mother? Okay, then the next question is, who here has now or has in the past had a mother? I just wanted to be sure who I was dealing with. Being my son's mother has always been one of my greatest honors and pleasures. It was a privilege for me to be his mother. People have always complimented me on my son. They complimented on how polite he is, how courteous he is. He's always been a hard worker and very dedicated to his work. He has compassion for other people. People tell me that he stands up for people. He stands up for what he thinks is right. He's never afraid. He doesn't back down and say, "This is too hard." If there's something that's uncomfortable, that's when my son knows he needs to take a step farther, because he doesn't ever want to be comfortable. Because if you're comfortable, you're not growing. Nothing's going to change in your life if you just stay where you're comfortable. So I've always been proud of him that he's able to step out and step forward and say, "I'm willing to go." You know, and in the Old Testament it says, "Who will go for me? Who shall I send and who will go for me?" And my son is one of those men. He will always step up and go. People have always told me that I must have been a good mom. My answer to them has been the same every time. Lee makes me look good. I was not a good mom. I mean, I did the best I could, but I was nothing special. He is special. He made me look like a good mom. And anything that is good in my life or in my son's life comes from God. And I thank God for that. When I told Pastor Joey that I would do the Mother's Day message, I volunteered because I'll use any excuse to talk. But mostly, I will use any excuse to talk about my God and what he's done in my life. God is a God of miracles. He is in the everyday little things. Sometimes when we think of miracles, we think it has to be something big or amazing. My God is in the details of everyday life. After agreeing to speak, I went home and I prayed about what God would have me to say. I asked for his guidance. I decided that this time I would start with asking God first instead of doing what I usually do. Usually when somebody asks me to speak, I get so excited and I want to do it, and I'm all excited and I get everything planned out and I get everything just perfect. I get my outline, everything is done exactly the way I think it should be. And then usually 1 or 2 days before it's time to speak, God says, "Okay, do you want to know what I want you to say?" So then I have to start all over again. So this time I decided, nope, I am going to step back. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to ask God what he wants me to say. So as I was praying, I asked God to reveal a mother in the Bible that I could compare my life to. And his answer was Samson's. And when I told my husband I was going to speak about Samson's mother, He said, well, that's perfect because Lee is built like Samson. My son is a bodybuilder and a weightlifter, and he has been for many years. So, but he's, excuse me, he can be compared to Samson in many other ways also. When I told a very godly friend of mine from Alaska that I was going to speak on Samson's mother, her response was, how can you speak on Samson's mother? The Bible doesn't say anything about her. So, I can speak about her because as a mother, I know what she went through. I know what she felt every time she looked at Samson and what he was going through in life. You have to excuse me. I'm just getting over a cold. So let me tell you, she was never mentioned in the Bible. Her name, they never mentioned her name. She was always mentioned as Manoah's wife, Samson's mother, the woman. And I can relate to that because being a military wife, when people talk to you or about you, it's always, oh, you're Master Sergeant Williams' wife, or you're Sergeant Penamon's mom. And I never looked at that as anything negative. Some women did. They hated the fact that people didn't recognize who they were. And in my mind, they were recognizing who I am. Because being Sergeant Williams' wife and Sergeant Penamon's mother were the most important things to me in the world, except being God's daughter. So, the military didn't care if I was recognized or not, because if they wanted their men to have a family, they would have issued them one. So let me tell you about Samson. His mother was barren. An angel came to her, and it came and appeared to her, and told her that she was going to have a son, and that his name would be called Samson. He told her that Samson would be a Nazarite from within the womb, and that would be, and that would, that he would be set apart for God's purpose. To be a Nazarite, that means that you cannot drink any fermented drinks. He couldn't drink or eat grapes or raisins, nothing made from the grapevine, seed to skin, and no razor shall come upon his head. That definitely leaves Lee out because he shaves his head. He could not go near any dead bodies. Besides the fact that Samson was known for his strength, and so is my son, there are many similarities between Samson and Samson's life and the life of my son. When Lee was little, he had such a desire to know God. When he was first learning to read, he was so excited because he couldn't wait to learn to read because he wanted to read the Bible for himself. He professed his love for God and was baptized at an early age. He loved everything about God and going to church. Then over the years, circumstances and people in his life turned him away from God, and he was away from God for 17 years. Samson was easily misled by women. He foolishly fell into their traps over and over again. This was also a weakness that my son had. It seemed like he was always trying to rescue some woman somewhere. I started praying for Lee's wife when he was 5 years old. I prayed that God would start at that early age to prepare the heart of the woman that would marry my son. As he dated different women, I would pray and I would tell God, surely this is not who you meant for my son. And I would tell him, this can't possibly be what I have been praying for all of these years. I joked when he met his wife and I said, what do you want her for? She's got a good job, she has no kids, and she's a Christian. I'm so thankful for the woman that God chose for Lee's life. So back to how I could talk about a woman who was barely mentioned in the Bible. As a mother who watched her son do and go through things that are similar to what Samson went through, I can say that I knew her thoughts and I know her feelings. I raised my son to love God. I tried my best to teach him the way that he should go. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. In Deuteronomy 6:4-9, it tells us that we have the responsibility to teach our children. It says to train up, to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I thought that I had accomplished this with Lee until he was about 15 years old. That's when he started to turn away from God. At 17, he stopped going to church, and he stayed away for 17 years. As Samson's mother heard her son say that he wanted to choose a wife from the Philistines, I know how that broke her heart. I know she felt like she had failed. I know that she said to herself, I raised him differently than this. He knows this isn't right. The same thing that I felt when my son would date a woman that wasn't a Christian. I have many stories that I could tell, but they're not mine to tell. But each one of them broke my heart. In Judges 14, 1 through 4, Samson's parents didn't know that choosing a wife from the Philistines was a part of God's plan to destroy the Philistines. Later in the same chapter, it talks about Samson killing a lion and with his bare hands, and later returning to it to eat the honey out of the hive that the bees had made inside the carcass of the dead lion. Now remember, he was not supposed to go near any dead animals, any dead people. He would have been considered unclean, and there was a process that he would have had to go through so he could return to be a Nazarite again. Both of these things broke his vow with God. Once you break fellowship with God, it gets easier and easier each time, especially if nothing bad happens when you do it. Samson's wife betrayed him with her people. Now, this was his first wife. This wasn't Delilah. This was the wife he loved. She betrayed him with her people. And it caused him to lose everything that he had. He lost his wife to another man, and ultimately it caused his wife's death. Then he went back for more. He continually broke his vow with God. Then he met Delilah, and we all know how that went. He was betrayed over and over and over again. Finally, he gave in and he told her the thing that would cause him to lose his strength. In verse 16:20, it says, "The Lord departed from him." If we continually reject God, he will turn us over to our sins. Watching your child make one poor choice after another is so painful. I would watch Lee fail knowing there was nothing I could do to stop that or to change the path that he was on. But this is when our responsibility as a mother of an adult child kicks in. It's our responsibility to pray for them over and over, unceasingly. I prayed harder than I had ever prayed in my life for my son. We have no control over them or their situations. This is when we know that only God can change their hearts. I went through many years trying to hold on to God's promise for Lee. I held on to that promise that Lee would return to God. I felt defeated. I felt like I failed my son and like I failed my God. 17 years is a long time to keep trusting, but I never gave up on my son. I tried always to be the Christian example for him that he needed. I knew that he was not gone from God completely, because the core of who he was showed in everything that he did. He was still a part of God. He was a good man. He cared about others. He would call when things got too overwhelming, and I would repeatedly tell him, "You know what my answer is. You need to pray about it." I never belittled him or made him feel like he wasn't good enough. I never nagged him about going to church. People would ask me, "Well, do you tell him how bad he's hurting you? Do you tell him that what he's doing is wrong?" My answer was always the same. I didn't need to tell him. He knew the truth, and he knew what my thoughts and my beliefs were. In Proverbs 15:1, it says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." I knew that if my son thought that I was trying to control him, he would be done trusting me. I knew that my best course of action was to stay the course with God and to let God do my talking. I knew that God never stopped working in Lee's life. Lee also had been blessed with a godly wife that prayed for him continually. She went to church faithfully, read her Bible, and raised her kids to do the same. There came a point in his life when God showed himself so clearly to Lee that Lee could not resist it. I was doing a Bible study called The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children. If you haven't read it, you need to read it, because it's amazing. In this Bible study, I grew in my trust for what God had for my son. I prayed every day, all day. God laid it on my heart to pray a very difficult and dangerous prayer. I prayed that God would do whatever it takes to bring my son back to him. At first, when I started, I thought, I can do that. Then, as time went on, God told me to pray it and to mean it. That's when it got difficult and when it got dangerous. I realized that in praying that prayer, it may take things that I wasn't so sure that I was willing to give up. It could have meant the life of my grandkids, my husband, myself, or my son. I had to examine myself, and I had to determine whether I was willing to give up those things. Then that's when things got real. I trusted God, and I prayed that prayer knowing that I meant it, and also afraid of what the answer might be. At about the same time, Lorraine, Lee's wife, persuaded him to attend a Christian marriage seminar. He was reluctant to go, but he did agree to. Through that, he decided to dedicate his life to Christ and to be the man that God chose him to be. I was in Texas watching their kids for the weekend so they could go to the seminar. Lee came home and told me about his experience. I'd like to share that with you, and I'd like you to do it with me. God's talking. I want you all to close your eyes. And men, I want you to think about your fathers. And women, I want you to think about your mothers. Now, I want you to think about all the good words that you can think of that describe your mother or your father. Now I want you to think about all the bad things that you can think of that describe your mother or your father. Okay, open your eyes. Now I want you to pretend that it's 20 years from now. Your son or your daughter are sitting in this same room being asked the same question. What words will they use to describe you? If you don't know what, if you don't like what you see, it's time for you to step up and make a change in what you're doing. This is the exercise that made the difference in Lee's life. This is what made him decide that he was going to follow God from that point on, because he didn't like what he saw when he closed his eyes. He didn't like what he saw when he thought about his father. He didn't like what he saw when he thought about what his kids would be thinking about him. So he decided it was time to make that change. Well, Samson finally returned to God. He was at rock bottom. He couldn't have lost any more than he already did. He lost fellowship with God. He lost his wife. He lost his strength. His eyes were gouged out. He had to be led to his final destination. He called out to God. In Judges 16:28 through 30, it says, "Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, 'O God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars, which supported the temple, and he braced against them with one hand on his right and one hand on the left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people that were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. God fulfilled his promise in his purpose in Samson, and even though Samson took him on many different detours. As promised, Samson did return to God. And also, as promised, Lee returned to God. After the exercise at that seminar, Lee told me that it broke his heart and that he was going to make a change. He said that his bad behavior stops today. He wanted to make a difference for God in the lives of his kids. His life portrays that he was serious about that. As far as I can tell, he strives to be a man of God that his kids can look up to and to fashion their lives after. He hasn't destroyed a nation to save his people, but he has stepped up and gone to war to protect our country and to protect you and me. He stepped up to be a true man of God. We need to realize that as parents, our kids are not ours. They're God's. He allows us to have them for a short time. I think it's important to be open with your kids and let them know the mistakes that you made when you were younger, the mistakes that you made when you were their age. It's important to keep your information appropriate for their ages, but they still need to know that you made mistakes. If you pretend you were perfect, they will learn early on that they will never live up to your expectations. If they can't be perfect like you, they may just give up because they see how miserably they fail every day. Because every day, while they're trying to be as perfect as you, they're making the mistakes that you made that you wouldn't tell them about. We are to do our best to direct them in the ways of the Lord. However, at some point, we have to accept the fact that they are adults and they are responsible for their choices. I spent a lot of years feeling like I failed my son, and I did in many ways. I blame myself for every failure that my son had. I thought that if I had been a better mother, if I hadn't allowed things to happen in his life, if I had protected him more, things wouldn't have turned out the way they did. We all make mistakes. I made plenty. Choices I made when I was young still affect my son. I have asked my son and God to forgive me. No matter if you failed as a parent or not, maybe some of you are perfect. I'm surely not. But no matter what, they are responsible for who they are. Their mistakes and choices are not your mistakes and choices. You have to answer for your own, and they have to answer for their own. They're going to be held accountable to God. When we continually try to rescue them from the consequences of their sin, we are getting in God's way. We need to step back and let God do his work in them. Our hearts may break as we watch, but it is for the greater good. If we continually rescue them, they have no need to cry out to God. Trust me, God's ways are much better for them than ours could ever be. At some point in our lives, no matter who you are, if you're the child or you're the parent here today, at some point, we all need to step up and own what we did and what we do. We don't get to blame others for our actions. Who you are, what you choose for your life, is between you and God. God won't accept the excuses that you give to everyone else. He knows what's truly in your heart. You can't bluff him. What I want you to take away from this today is don't quit. Don't give up. Keep praying and keep trusting in God's plans and his promises. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." In Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14, It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." For we, and Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are the called according to his purpose." And I just want to encourage you all today, especially you young mothers, to not quit praying for your family. And, you know, like I said, I started praying for my son's wife when he was 5 years old. You need to do that because there's so much out there that can come in between them and God. And I prayed for my daughter-in-law when she was 5 years old, and I didn't even know who she was. And God sent that godly woman into my son's life. And that is one of the things that helped to bring him back to her. I mean, to him. Sorry. But the other thing I want to encourage you young mothers with is that even though being a mom is an awesome, awesome thing, being a grandmother is even better. And just so you know, having grandkids is your reward for not killing your teenagers. Thank you for taking this opportunity to let me speak, and may God bless you all. Thank you.